Hawks will start at the 16. They have four wide. Stanley in the shotgun with a single back. And then they're going to hand it off. And then going farther back, that is Herbert losing five. Throwing him to the ground, that is Craig Settles Jr. Take that back. That is Trey Deshaun, number 99 instead of 98. A big-time play. That is Settles.
It was Settles.
I was not mistaken. Second down and at 14 is what they're going to call it. Stanley back to throw. Lee pressuring him. Stanley will throw it, and it finds a man that is caught, takes a big hit. At the 28, it was caught by Tyler Patrick. DJ Reed laid a big hit on him, but able to hold on. Reed already has broken up a pair of passes today, but the Jayhawks convert. Sucks a little bit of life out of the stadium. And the handoff to Herbert. This time he'll get positive yardage, but not much. He gets a yard. Taken down at the 29. Tanner Wooden on the tackle as well as Elijah Lee coming in. Brings up second and nine, 12 minutes to go in this first half, 20-3 Wildcats. Gonzalez will check in for the Jayhawks. Barbell heads out. Four wide. It is Khalil Herbert in the backfield. He has three carries today. Stanley working for the near hash. And that's bat up in the air. It's picked off. It's Elijah Lee at the 40-yard line. Looking for a block. He is just going to go east-west, but taken down at the 37. It was batted directly up in the air at that point. It's which Wildcats going to come down with it? It was Elijah Lee. And for the second straight drive, Carter Stanley has thrown a pick. That's now half a dozen on the year. And that has got to be a head coach's worst nightmare on offense, to see that ball get batted straight up into the air. And I believe that was straight up. That hung up there forever. I believe that might have been Settles that got his hand on that.
Yeah, I know there's 11 minutes left in the second quarter, but this really feels like a dangerous spot for KU to be in. They really got to hold K-State here. I mean, the Wildcats,
if they get a touchdown here,
I mean, this one could already be over. I know there's 11 minutes left, but with the gulf in talent between these two teams, KU really needs a big-time stop for this to be competitive. But
first, Jesse Ertz calls a timeout as the Wildcats on the first play of the drive have to burn their second timeout. And first half timeouts, are not nearly as expensive, but nonetheless, it's been a problem for the Wildcats this year, and definitely reared its ugly head in West Virginia, where the Cats burned five of their six timeouts just to avoid delay of game penalties. It's gotten better as the year goes on, but still you don't like to see now twice in the first half having to burn a timeout. And next week down in Fort Worth against the Horned Frogs, that could potentially be a problem if K-State continues to do that.
I was in the camp early on this season where, you know, you got to have better timeout management, leave your timeouts till late in the game. But Coach Snyder said something that kind of changed my opinion just a hair. He said, what good are timeouts if you don't use them? So while I don't love necessarily, you know, burning timeouts to save delay of game situations and just using them on occasion, if you're gonna use them, just use them, you know? So there's no use to go into halftime with one or two timeouts still left on the board. You've got three timeouts a half. Use all of them. I understand it. It doesn't hurt you as much this game with 11 minutes left to go in this second quarter, up 17 points.
Yeah, a game that's looking like it's going to quickly get out of hand.
There's still
a lot of game left, but regardless, you have to think that that is where this is going, as the Cats with the pick six less than 2 minutes ago, and now with another interception setting up a drive at the Jayhawk 37-yard line.
And this timeout can serve a dual purpose. You save the 5-yard penalty for the delay of game, and now you get to set up a little bit of a drive. You get to call a couple plays. What do you guys want to do? Give your offensive coordinators a little bit more time, where they were thinking that maybe they've got a full defensive drive to think about what they're going to do. Now they've got a little bit of extra time to figure out what run plays might work. Maybe some play action passes. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. And here's an amazing stat as we face a first down. The Wildcats are averaging 15 yards per play on first down. On 11 first down plays, they have 163 yards. And that really makes a big difference. So now we'll see if the Cats get their 15 or some sort of yardage as we are about ready to resume action here. 11 minutes, 33 seconds to go in this first half. 20-3 K-State leading the Jayhawks of KU. Jesse Ertz, Winston Dimmel, and Charles Jones in the backfield all awaiting the signal for play as we're waiting on Fox Sports 1 at this point. Now the official on the sideline says, all right, let's go. And we are ready for action. Ertz in the shotgun with a pair of lead blockers. Three wide receivers, two on the near side as the Wildcats work from the far hash. Ertz heads up to line of scrimmage, will change his play. Now 8 left on the play clock. Now 5, now 4. Ertz gets it off. Aim fakes the handoff. He's going to run. Ertz right side. He's got a big hole. Ertz inside the 30. And, oh, just tripped up by his ankles at the 28-yard line. And Ertz a little slow to get up, though he does. A nice tackle there.
It's Fish Smithson. He wasn't about to be outdone again. The safety got stiff-armed earlier by Jesse Ertz, but this time had the open field and wasn't going to let him go. Just an ankle tackle, but a big one to stop the hurt where it did. Only a 9-yard pickup. And I say only a 9-yard pickup. Could have been much
worse
if Smithson doesn't stop him.
So it'll be second down and a long one. It's about a yard and a half. Ertz close to 100 yards for the second time this year. He's at 98 on just 8 carries. Dimmel in motion, and they're going to hand it off to Jones, and he is bottled up and will go backwards, taken down to 30. It'll be a loss of close to 3 yards, and now as all of a sudden it's 3rd and 4. As that was a play running into the short side of the field that just even pre-play didn't look very good from up here. That just didn't seem to look like the side of the field to run the ball to, and sure enough, a loss of 3 yards. And the Cats now facing a 3rd down and 4. The Wildcats on 3rd down today are 1 of 2. Not been there very much. Ertz with a pair of blockers. Looks like he wants to run. And he goes left side. Gets a block from Valentine. He's got the edge. And a first down out of bounds at the 25. And Jesse Ertz, with an even 10 minutes to go in the first half, has already crossed the 100-yard threshold. It only took him 9 carries to get there.
And it seems like a pretty simple design play. Run to where the open space is. You run the wide receivers open there, and there's a bunch of open space right beside that little dead space, and it's just able to get to the edge before the defenders.
And had a key block there from Dayton Valentine on the outside against the corner to really open up that room there for Ertz to get that first down. So a 1st and 10, 25, KU brings pressure from the corners, and Jones again will go backwards again, a loss of 2.
And this is maybe where I have questions about the personnel for the Wildcats. Alex Barnes is doing a heck of a job.
Yeah, he saw what he did last time the Cats had the ball.
Against Baylor, 4 touchdowns, had just 34-yard touchdowns through the air, and now you go back to Charles Jones. Go with the hot hand. I'm all for that. I understand when to give guys rest, spread the ball around. It's senior day for Charles Jones, but this game's not over yet.
4 carries, 8 yards for Jones, as that was Dorrance Armstrong with another tackle for loss. Haven't said his name very much so far. Ertz has time, looking to throw, has Pringle that is caught, and his knee didn't go down, able to surge forward to the 16-yard line, and that will be a gain of 11. It brings up a 3rd down and 1. So Ertz has thrown the football just 4 times so far. He has 3 completions, all 4 targets, and therefore the 3 completions to Byron Pringle for 46 yards as, well, Pringle finally becoming the focal point of the receiving corps, as we all expected this season. Now Ertz in the pistol. He has Dimmel and Jones in. Now he'll run the option left side. Ertz will keep it, and he'll go backwards. Taken down at the 19-yard line. It'll be a loss of 3 yards, and the Cats on 4th and 4, we'll send out the field goal unit. So Ian Patterson will attempt a field goal. He has only attempted 1 this year. It was good, though.
And you saw there, just a little bit too late, Jesse Ertz head turned to the outside looking for Charles Jones, but at that point, he had 2 Jayhawks wrapped around either of his shoulders and wasn't able to get away. Good play call there, but just a little bit of a Selfish play by Jesse Ertz. If he pitches that earlier, Wildcats probably get the first down.
Field goal attempt by Patterson. It is up and hits the left upright and is no good. Patterson and KU is trying to run it back. You cannot run back a kick that hits the upright. So I'm not sure what exactly Steven Sims was trying to do there.
Yeah, play delay, blow the whistle, I suppose, although it's a dead ball.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Big stop for there. KU.
Yeah, they needed it to hold the Wildcats off the board. There's Patterson, who hit a 43-yarder in his lone attempt of the season against Oklahoma State, misses from 36. Again, wide left. Does that one look like, looking at the replay, look like it's going to squeeze in the left upright and then just took a little bit of a left turn and clanked off the post. So KU will take over right at the 20-yard line with a first and 10.